Welcome to Maximal Being,
a podcast devoted to ditching fad diets and using real science to get you healthy and feeling great.
I'm Doc Mock, a GI and functional medicine doctor who harnesses the power of gut health to get you achieving your goals.
And I'm Jackie P, a well-informed layman who challenges the experts and asks the questions that you want.
Don't forget to hit the subscribe button or leave a comment.
And now, on to the show.
What's going on, Maximal Beings? Doc Mock here with MaximalBeing.com. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button, leave us a comment. It does help us to get the word out. If you have any questions, you can email us at team@MaximalBeing.com. Enjoy the episode.
What's going on, Maximal Beings? Doc Mock here. We've talked for years about having guests back on the show, but today we have the honor of having Chris Burrs back with My Vital C. So Chris, how have you been doing since we chatted almost a year ago, and what's new with you and your company?
Well, first off, thanks for having me back. I feel honored that I'm one, apparently, of the few who have actually returned. We were already riffing before we started, so this is just going to be a whole lot of fun. And cool. I'll say medical information, but we have like one medical professional here, so let's be clear about that. Not two,
but two scientifically minded individuals with your engineering background, and yeah. So
absolutely, and I certainly am diving into the literature. One of the pieces of our conversation before we got started is like how much medical information is out there, and in a very real like I have the sense that you're like an information. I once had somebody on one of my teams like, you have to be an information whore to work at this company, because like, you just have to be like, love information and absorb. Yes. I feel like you probably have a little bit of that. And yes. Then, so interestingly, your area of practice is very focused, so there might be less information available, like less new information on a day-to-day basis. I'm over here drowning without your background, right? Without your specific medical background, trying to absorb like a much broader base of information. So it's overwhelming and it's exciting. Like every day I get up, you probably hear it in my voice. I ended up writing a book, Live Longer and Better. I just did a longevity summit I got to interview 55 experts in longevity. Wow. Including some like heavy hitters like Ben Greenfield, Dave Asprey, the father of biohacking, and the creator of Bulletproof Coffee, and then Dr. Stephen Gundry, a former practicing thoracic heart surgeon. Like who leaves that career?
And his book is amazing. And the recipes at the end of it are fantastic too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the middle of pandemic, when everybody was gaining weight, I got on Gundry's diet and lost 20 pounds. Right.
Awesome. And look at you.
Yeah. I had pushed the highest I'd ever been. And frankly, some of this, full transparency, some of it was I just needed to force myself to reset because I have twins and I was in the habit of finishing their food. Right. Like, we're at a restaurant and they've got half a burger left. Well, somebody should eat that burger. No.
Right. Can't let it go to waste. Right. Yeah.
I got to show them, look, you can't let it go to waste, but I can't eat anything. Okay. I guess that means I got to eat it.
For those of you out there that are just listening, Chris Burrs is a lean, mean C60 loaded fighting machine. This guy is like, he is ready to rock. This guy looks young and fit. So he practices what he preaches. So just throwing it out there for the listeners. Yeah.
Thank you. I bumped into, you know how you bump into friends, you know, maybe even 20 that you haven't seen in 20 years. And one of them was like, man, you look really good. And I said, I better, cause I'm freaking working my butt off.
It is a full-time job, you know, like
exactly. So yeah. Exciting things, new information, lots to share with people. I'm actually speaking at a biohacking conference in Austin. I'm not speaking individually. I'm on a panel at Biohackers World in Austin this weekend. So we're leaving tomorrow for that. And then the next event that we're going to is Dave Asprey's biohacking conference in Dallas. And we're going to have a booth up there. So just so many amazing things going on. I'm like, it's so cool. And so glad to be back here.
That's fantastic. And I thank you for your time. You know, the last time we were kind of like interfacing in the same geographic location, which never happens. I was heading to a conference near you and you were there. And, you know, I feel like the next time I'm down there, we definitely have to meet up, like, that would... undoubtedly.
Yes.
And I must read before we meet up, Live Longer and Better. Talk to me about the journey of what inspired you to write this book, and what the listeners should take away as kind of the key notes going in before we dive into a deeper conversation.
Yeah, I'll start with what I really hope the readers will take away, which is a newer vision for health and longevity, right? And I've got some really interesting stats coming out of the, let's just go down that path. So I'll go all the way back to the molecule. So I'm holding up a molecule. If you're listening, don't worry. Just imagine a soccer ball. I'm not holding up a molecule. I'm holding up a model of a molecule. just imagine a soccer ball. And the lines on the soccer ball represent the bonds between the carbon atoms. So this molecule was discovered in 1985, and the three scientists who discovered this molecule won the Nobel Prize in 1996. By the way, all of this is in the book, Live Longer and Better, and all of this story. And so the molecule's amazing. It performs as well or better than the current best materials in almost every application. So it makes better inks, better batteries, better tires, better photocells. I thought this was a medical conversation. What's going on, right? Like, this, no one in the history of the world has said, like, see that car battery over there? I wonder what components of that car battery I should be consuming every day. And the story, you know, as you know, gets a little bit worse first. They thought the molecule would be toxic. So different shapes on the exterior of the soccer ball molecule, by the way, we call it ESS60. Different shapes are reminiscent of benzene. Benzene is a known toxin, a known carcinogen. And so they thought it would be toxic, and they threw it in a toxicity study. So it turns out my lab provided the material. My lab's actually mentioned in the results of that study, in that peer-reviewed published research. And instead of being toxic, the test subjects that they gave it to, and for transparency, they're Wistar rats, they lived 90% longer than the control group. So you've got the single longest longevity experimental result in history, and it's peer-reviewed published research. So this was kind of the transition from me being a happy-go-lucky carbon nanomaterial scientist. Yes, they exist, and I'm one of them. Maybe there's only two. My business partner is the other one, or at least another one. and that shifted us kind of down this longevity and health path. And so we have this amazing story of this molecule that we were there in the beginning. And it was actually fairly recently that it dawned on me that my business partner and I are in part responsible for the three scientists winning the Nobel Prize. And here's my logic, and I'm sure it's debatable, but the logic is we started manufacturing the molecule and selling it to research institutions around the world in 1991. They won the Nobel Prize in 96. They discovered it in 85, right? So 6 years after they discovered it, we come on the scene and start delivering it so scientists can, in quantities big enough that scientists can actually do research on it. So now you're like, whoa, okay, theoretically, this was amazing. When we were playing with, you know, microscopic quantities, it was amazing. And now we can actually get our hands on stuff and confirm it's actually amazing. So we're there from the beginning. That's already an amazing story that probably deserves a book. And in fact, there's a book called The Most Beautiful Molecule, which covers through to really the discovery and the Nobel Prize, right? And then we keep taking this and we're delivering it to research institutions around the world. We put it, we end up with our material in this study, longevity result, 90% extension of life. And now that sends us in a whole different trajectory. Like, my first goal is like, well, is a 90% extension of life a big deal, right? You know, like, but I kind of thought so. I'd never been to a GNC and saw, you know, 30% extension of life or 50% extension of life or 90%.
Right, which you're going to go through. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Like, it's never been marketed, so it probably doesn't exist. Like, that's just probably true. And so we start digging in, and it turns out, you know, the next best way, or the best way in terms of a quantity of research to live longer, is calorie restriction. If you reduce your calorie consumption by 30%, you can extend your life by 30%. That's the bar, right? So we've got a study at 90%, and then 30% is the next. So right now, as I'm digging into this longevity space, I'm starting to understand, or over some time have been coming to understand, that the medical community is kind of shifting their mindset. Like, one of the shifts is that you can live a lot healthier, a lot longer, or maybe you were getting some things wrong, right? Or like the number I read was 20% of your life is in some sort of decline. Nobody's happy about that. I don't think doctors, you know, aren't happy about that. And we're kind of realizing that there are solutions to this. And not only that, if you go on to really cutting edge people, they're like, listen, we could potentially live forever. We could eradicate these diseases of aging. We can, you know, replace body parts if that's the solution. If we can't find the levers to make your heart younger again, we're going to be able to grow your own heart in a dish somewhere and then stick your own heart back in your own, you know, not back in, into your own body. I think I saw something, they were growing, I think, kidney parts on the exterior of people. And they're actually working, doing the job of the kidney, and it's like hanging off of his knee because
they've also been able to build, you know, different organs on these kind of infrastructures using 3D printers and different stem cell sort of products, which is just fantastic. As far as the ability to transplant those into a human being, you know, that is still pending. And I think a lot of the newer transplant data, things like uterine transplants, have been not as successful as we would like them to be. So I think we still have advancements.
Are you a healthcare practitioner searching for a comprehensive solution to streamline your patient referrals and improve collaboration with other practitioners? Look no further than Rupa Health, the ultimate platform for integrative and functional medicine practitioners. As a healthcare practitioner, I've struggled with the traditional referral process for labs. It's time-consuming, inefficient, and often lacks the necessary communication between providers and patients. But ever since I started using Rupa Health, everything has changed. That's right, Rupa Health is revolutionizing the way that practitioners connect and order lab work with their patients. Their advanced platform allows you to effortlessly send and receive patient lab referrals and secure their information, sending them the kits directly. This makes the communication directly with other patients and practitioners easy to take care of. I can't stress enough how much time and energy Rupa Health has saved me. With just a few clicks, I can easily order lab work and track their progress, and then I receive the results directly into my inbox, which I can send to the patients automatically with recommendations. Absolutely, Rupa Health's extensive network of lab testing and curated, integrated, and functional medicine testing allows practitioners to receive the highest quality of care and dedicate their practice to a patient-centered, holistic approach which aligns perfectly with the values of healthcare in a functional medicine practice. Plus, Rupa Health provides you with excellent customer support. Their team is responsive, knowledgeable, and always helps with assistance in billing questions and how kits are shipped to your patients. They are dedicated to helping practitioners like us provide the best possible care for our patients. And if you're a patient listening, it allows you to seamlessly order your lab testing and receive all of the necessary information. Rupa Health has been a game changer for my practice, and as you know, it will be for yours too. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to save on lab testing by heading to labs.rupahealth, that's rupahealth.com/store/storefront_V=X00400. That's labs.rupahealth.com/store/storefront_V=X0040. I'll see you later, Maximal Beings.
You know, one of the things we should talk about is, if you could live forever, right? What about the quality of life during that time frame? Because that is most important, right? Is not just the amount of time, but the quality of your life that you have. And yes, replacing organs would help, but does your molecule, could it help these rats in the study to live a good life during that extra 90%, I wonder?
Well, one of the things, and of course, this is a little bit tongue in cheek, but I do, there was no notation in the original study that the rats were walking around with, you know, little rat walkers and little rat tanks.
Yeah, rat quality of life scores or something like that.
They were off the charts. Yeah. It's just the chart is like, it's alive or it's dead. So it's
right, exactly. How much cheese do you get? How many times do you get to run around a week? Right.
So, you know, ostensibly, first thing, it opens the door, right? And then you start looking at like a Dr. David Sinclair out of Harvard University. His book is Lifespan, Why We Age and Why We Don't Have To. And you start, you know, I at least started buying into this, okay, to the concept that it's possible, right? You're right. Like, are we throwing, doing is it in utero or are you talking about a uterine transplant?
You like the transplant of a uterus into a person.
So, that's not working, but we can solve that. Like I think that those are things that are solvable. And I gave you this stat, which you were probably aware of before I mentioned it to you. If you think about how much medical information there is in 1950, medical information doubled every 50 years. That's 50 years. Today, it doubles every 73 days, right? Yeah. And in reality, that number doesn't really take into consideration AI yet, right? So 73 days is a number, I think it's at least 3, 4, 6, whatever. Now we're folding AI into these things. And I've had some kind of, whatever, I'll say philosophical conversations with myself about like, maybe AI doesn't expand the amount of information, but we know that AI is going in and honing in on particular drug opportunities faster and without having to do real testing, right? Like it's able to improve the quality of the work. So not only are we doubling every 73 days with AI, the quality of that doubling is going to increase. And ironically, I did an AI calculation in 10 years at this, you know, exponential growth, right? 50 years at in 1950 and then 73 days today. It's like, it's going to double every 15 minutes, right? So if you think it's possible, and right, like we think that you can transplant a uterus, otherwise no one would be trying it at all, right?
Right.
It's going to be possible, right? Because we're just, the information is growing so unbelievably fast. And so now you've got this quantum shift in the medical community about, hey, we can probably live a lot longer, right? And certainly there's no value in living longer if we don't live better, right? If we don't, the number I heard was 20% of our life is in some sort of decline. We don't want that. The best analogy for, I think, the lifespan that most people would like that I found is a candle, right? A candle burns just the same from start all the way to the finish. And then this, you know, 0.1% of the candle, it just, you know, the flame gets a little bit smaller and dies. I think that's what everybody's interpretation of how they'd like to pass is, right? Like you just want to make sure you're not a burden on those around you. So the takeaway that I would like from the book is, hey, shift how you're thinking about it. There's a thing called the escape velocity of aging. And I think the first time I heard of this was in Life Force, which is a Tony Robbins and Peter Diamandis book. And the concept is at some point, for every day we're alive, the medical community will be able to extend life by slightly more than a day. And when that happens, right, with some caveats on the different things that the medical community is solving, eventually we'll get to the point where no one will die of natural causes. In fact, at some point, there will be one person who will be the last person to die of natural causes. And you don't want to be that. Well, he won't know, right? Because he won't be here.
Right. And I also don't know that anybody does die of natural causes. It's just an unknown medical condition that is just not diagnosed, or the only way to do that is with a real-time monitor and an autopsy, really, you know. So
yeah, I think you make the point that David Sinclair was making is like, we just lump these things into old age. And a lot of his book was about lobbying the medical community to say, well, let's talk about what we currently say is old age as a disease, because currently the medical community doesn't think it's disease, it thinks it's inevitable. And and his point is, you know, we've got funding for Alzheimer's and cardiovascular disease and arthritis, all of these classic diseases of aging, also inflammation, right?
Yeah. And cancer, and for sure.
And cancer, yeah.
Most of the time, yeah.
They're all funded separately, but if you solve, like a lot of us are like, hey, if we just solve cancer, you know, our lives are going to be so much longer. No, I think it's another 4.5 years or something, because the next disease of age is going to like jump in and take care of that. So his lobbying, and that's another goal for me from this book, is, hey, let's change our understanding of aging. Let's address aging, because aging, if we can't actually address it, and there's good arguments for that, can really address all of those things, because the biggest factor for most of the diseases that I just mentioned is age, right? Like, yeah, there's extenuating factors, obesity and whatever, but age is the dominant one, I believe.
Right. That's ultimately what we're all trying to do, is prolong life, avoid pain, seek pleasure, right? That may be at the core of what it is to be human. And we want to do that for as long as possible, right? So
yeah.
So that is aging with grace. Yeah.
In a bright candle flame, like as right. that bright candle flame for the whole period of time. So that's really the goal of the book. I jump into the story, which is amazing. You know, we talk about some of the benefits that people report when they take My Vital C, the most consistent testimonials. People take it in the morning. They report mental focus and energy during the day, and then better sleep that night. And then you and I had a conversation about the skincare product. Happy to send you some more of those,
Yeah, I was going to say, can we pause there? Because, you know, I think the last time that you're on over a year ago, at that time, we reviewed the medical literature very extensively. And in humans, the most conclusive data was on skincare. And it did show significant benefits in terms of wrinkle lines. And that was more of a, you know, microbiopsy sort of study. But I will say anecdotally that I personally saw benefit while I was taking it. And again, I greatly appreciate the fact that you're willing to share that with me and Jackie P. I mean, Jackie P already looks very young, so he must have been wearing a bonnet and with a binky in his mouth. But, you know, I will say I did note benefits that were qualitatively better. And so we're talking about the benefit of now you have, like, going back to AI, you can utilize AI to facial map people, and the value that My Vital C may be considering to do something in that space.
Are you looking for high quality, evidence-based supplements to support your functional medicine practice? Look no further than Fullscript, the leading platform for healthcare practitioners to prescribe and order professional grade supplements. As a functional medicine and gastroenterology doctor, I trust Fullscript to provide me with a wide range of high-quality supplements that meet specific needs of my patients. Their extensive product catalog includes trusted brands, ensuring that I have access to the best options for my patients' health. That's right, Fullscript offers a comprehensive selection of supplements, including vitamins, minerals, botanicals, and specialty formulations, all sourced from reputable manufacturers. Plus, their rigorous quality control ensures that you're getting products that meet the highest quality standards of purity and potency. And what I love most about Fullscript is the convenience it offers. With their user-friendly online platform, I can easily browse, prescribe, and manage supplement protocols for my patients. It saves me valuable time and streamlines the ordering process. Absolutely, Fullscript makes it easy to create customized protocols for your patients and track their progress. Plus, they handle all the logistics from inventory management to shipping, so you can focus on what matters most, providing excellent care to your patients. So if you're ready to take your functional medicine practice or wellness to the next level, visit us.fullscript.com/welcome/maximalbeing. That's us.fullscript.com/welcome/maximalbeing to receive your 15% discount on customized supplements and check Maximal Being standardized protocols for gut health. Fullscript has been a game changer for my practice, and I know it will be for yours. Don't miss out on this incredible resource for functional medicine practitioners and patients alike today.
I am a scientist at my core. And so I've got nothing more than a desire to, you know, is because our most consistent testimonial involves sleep. I ended up in a conversation with Dr. Benjamin Smarr, Professor Benjamin Smarr. He's at the University of California, San Diego. Actually, today was the first note I sent to him in years because I'm interviewing one of his colleagues tomorrow for a podcast. And nice. And he was a consultant for Oura Ring, right? Oura Ring, the great sleep, one of the best sleep mm-hmm. trackers that's out there. Yes. And so we started this kind of study, and then the pandemic hit, and the Ring is actually pretty good at identifying COVID. And so he just disappeared, as you can imagine, busy with research and PR stuff. But we kept that study going, and we really have run 12 people through an off-on survey study, which is, hey, about sleep. Hey, how is your sleep, like, qualitatively? You know, how good was your sleep? How do you feel when you wake up? How restless? How quickly did you fall asleep? And they give us that data for 10 days prior to taking the product, 10 days on the product, 10 days off the product, and then 10 days mm-hmm. back on the product. And universally, when they're on the product, they report better sleep, right? So this is at least, you know, to go do a sleep study is so expensive, right? We're just not there. We do have plans, and this was probably true a year ago, and we're slowly moving in that direction to recreate that original rat study. That's something that it's expensive, right? Because it's a 5+ year study,
and the regulations too. With, you know, and there's no research money out there, ladies and gentlemen, anymore. It is gone. Like, it is almost impossible to get money for anything nowadays. So.
Yeah, so we're going to have to self-fund it. And one of the things about animal studies, which I didn't know kind of going into this conversation or into the conversation about doing that study, is you have to pay up front, because from an ethical perspective, they don't want you to get halfway into a study, run out of money, and then you euthanize all these animals for no benefit, right? Like, there is a board that's looking at these types of decisions, and so it's got to be funded up front. So yeah, I'm interested. Your idea about doing some face analysis software, that's genius. So I'll be crediting you in perpetuity as that comes out. But
it's gratis for about, you know, giving value to our audience. So thank you, actually.
All right. And I do want to pick your brain, right? Cause I've got you. I'm 54. When I turned 50, my mom got me a t-shirt that said, "Look, I'm all grown up and it's time for me to get a colonoscopy." Right. It was, of course, a black shirt.
Yep.
I haven't gotten around to it, and that's just bad. I know that. I went back to my practitioner for my yearly checkup, and I'm and like, it just re-give me the referral, right? So I can go get that taken care of. And right at the time, and actually I called to set it up, and the system, it hadn't been put in, so they couldn't get me signed up. And at that point, I interviewed somebody for a podcast. And they kind of pointed out, you know, when you get a colonoscopy, they just literally gut, pun intended, gut your microbiome. Like, they just, you're totally flushed out is kind of the image that you have. And when I did this longevity summit, I basically asked 55 experts, "Hey, you have an area of expertise. Does the gut biome have anything to do with it?" And the answer was yes. And like, you have another area of expertise that seems unrelated. It's like rheumatoid arthritis. How important is the gut biome for that? Oh, it's really, really important. And so it scared me. And so I'd like to get your opinion. Like, maybe I should just do Cologuard, right? Like, that's just a fecal test and they can do an example. But apparently a colonoscopy has, I think, two advantages. It's more accurate. And if they find something, they can take it out while they're there. Am I way off base here? Like, what should I do?
So I think so many things. So number one, it is a great time in this universe to be in the poop business, because like, that is like what people are talking about. I know that the longevity people want to talk about, hey, the heart is important and sleep is important, but like, you know, the gut microbiome is really a very important organ, because it links up with your neurologic system, your vascular system, your immune system. It is the second largest immune organ in the human body, right? And we have this crosstalk between these trillions of microorganisms and ourselves, and the interactions are very complex, and they're exceptionally dependent upon the individual and the circumstances for which that individual grew up. And until now, with the invention of AI, we were unable to interpret these trillions of metadata that we obtained from fecal samples, right? Because who can do that? Who has the time to do that? So that said, yes, the microbiome is exceptionally important for longevity. And there are some data looking at that. I came across several systematic reviews, most of which are in human subjects early on, looking at, just really analyzing the data of people that are at different age levels, different levels of athleticism. And they do find substantial differences based upon age. Most notably, we had talked about this diversity, right? That is the big thing. Switching gears, so does a colonoscopy alter your gut microbiome? It does to some degree. Most things do, right? If you get on a plane now and travel to see me, it's going to be different. If you eat something different tomorrow, your gut microbiome will change to some degree. And so when people take a bowel preparation, it does make some changes. It kind of like dials it down or turns the volume from like a 10 down to like a 4. But those bacteria are still in there, and we see them. We see them in several situations. So we see biofilms. So these are kind of like these little tents that bacteria and yeast and parasites will set up in the gut to protect themselves from stimuli like this. We can wash them off, but they will stay there. And we see this in the situation of C. diff colitis, which is kind of where a lot of the microbiome data originated from, was fecal transplantation for C. diff colitis. So C. diff is this bad bacteria that lives inside of us. And when we wipe out the good guys, when we napalm that little houses that our happy microbiome lives in, these bad guys set up shop and they take over the neighborhood. And then the neighborhood falls to stuff, and you have a bad neighborhood. But when we do colonoscopy, even though somebody's prepped for a day, 2 days, we still see these pseudomembranes that the C. diff bacteria sets up. And so we know the microbiome is still there. So it doesn't wipe it out. It just dials it down. And so after your colonoscopy, when you get yours, you create a favorable environment for these bacteria to thrive in, these good bacteria will continue to grow and live and be happy. But if your first meal after is something fast food and gross, you're going to start to upregulate or turn the dial up on the bad guys. And you may feel some sort of symptoms that time afterwards. I will also say this about the different ways we can diagnose colon cancer. And this is an aside and totally out of the scope of C60 and longevity, kind of. But when I was a fellow, that was when fecal-based colon cancer screening techniques were published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And we reviewed that at a journal club, I remember. So that's where like a bunch of nerdy doctors get together. You have some sort of food and you talk about why an article is so good, bad,
or
whatever. Was
it fast food? It was probably fast food.
Not for this guy, but maybe for the other people. So, but when we were reviewing that particular article, one of the things to note is that they touted as being 92% specific at detecting colon cancer. But what they don't say is that they miss 8% of colon cancers with that test. If I'm that 8 out of 100 people, I don't want you to miss that. And so, yeah. So the benefit of a test like that is that it gets people that otherwise are scared or ickied out from getting a colonoscopy to come and see us and do something. And when it's positive, inevitably you will find something, whether it be a big polyp, whether it be a cancer. But it does miss things. And I can tell you personally, because we do data analysis as a quality metric, that in my hands, I'm not going to miss your colon cancer. I will not. And in fact, we may be able to remove it if it's in an early stage endoscopically and you keep your colon. So, so get your colonoscopy.
Yep. Yes.
But I'm taking the stage for for too long. Yeah. So let's get back to live longer.
Well, just to follow up on that, one, I find it amazing, you know, the concept of, you know, decimating really your gut biome and then, you know, starting it with, let's just keep fried chicken. Right. And then that's going to be the bad gut bugs. Right. When I've cut sugar out, you know, aggressively, my cravings go away. Right. Like, so there really is this amazing communication that is happening between the gut biome. And again, this just was repeated over and over and over again in the longevity summit that I did. Like, yeah, this gut biome is important. If you get it right, it helps you, you know, and we talked briefly about kind of fecal transplants. This is amazing stuff. So should I do both? Should I do Cologuard and a colonoscopy? Which is not a conversation JP was expecting to hear when he joined.
Yeah. So everybody, welcome to the podcast. Jackie P, glad to have him. We always love him dialing down my nerdiness factor. So welcome. Great to see
you. Hello, everyone. I'm sorry. I'm sure these two big brain nerds probably went way into the jargon. The last 30 seconds I just heard, I could tell Chris was already in his element. I am so sorry for being late. I had a day, but you know, that's not important. I'm here. Chris, you look great. It looks like you lost a couple years off the age. So it looks like that vital C is working.
Thank you.
And for those of you out there, like, this is not just Jackie P's job. Like, Jackie P is a full-time dad. He has a full-time job and runs the company. Like, he just does this because he feels bad for me, I think. But
no.
We're lucky to have him here.
If there was a way I could pay my bills doing this, I'll tell you, I'd be a happy man, right? Yeah. Anyone listening out there, Joe Rogan, all these big podcast folks, pick us up. I think we've got something going on here.
but should you get both a Cologuard and a colonoscopy? No, I don't think you need that. I mean, I would say that if you don't have time, don't want to do the colonoscopy, get something done. But if you're going to get the best thing, it's still a colonoscopy because it's diagnostic and it's therapeutic. Mm-hmm. You know, colon cancer, if you don't have genetic conditions that set you up for rapid growth, like Lynch syndrome, who is at MD Anderson, the Lynch family is all based there in Houston in your backyard. But if you don't have that environment, it's a slow game. And so that's why screening works for colon cancers, because over 10 years, a polyp will grow and turn into a cancer. And so if you intervene at times before it does that, you get rid of that process and you're able to heal and start new. And that is why it is better than a fecal-based test.
Okay, awesome.
The content included is not intended to be used as medical advice, and viewers should consult their physician or healthcare provider should they have additional questions. The viewers should not rely on information contained in these presentations for immediate or urgent medical needs. Additionally, if you think you have a medical emergency, call your physician or go to the emergency department or call 911 immediately. Never disregard professional medical advice or rely on seeking medical care or delay medical care due to information contained in this presentation.
What's going on, Maximal Beings? Doc Mock here. If you haven't done so already, leave us a comment and hit the subscribe button. Let your friends and family know. That way we can get the word out and continue to bash the bro science.